Hey, everybody out there. I want to welcome you to my next edition of my next podcast. And I want to thank you guys for joining us and being part of Gray's Golf. And, you know, I hope you guys are starting to get ready for the spring golf, or maybe starting to warm up where you're at, and things are starting to roll a little bit. I mean, even where we're at, you know, unless you're sitting in Phoenix or Orlando or somewhere in a warm winter climate, I don't think you have a lot of green yet, but you know, we're getting there. We're literally a couple weeks away. In fact, my wife came to me this morning and said, looked in the backyard, and she goes, look at the red buds and look at the Bradford pears, and they're all starting to bloom. And I was like, that's literally means you're a couple weeks away from getting green grass. And so she's looking at the trees, I'm looking at the grass. So, you know, are we ready to get out there and, you know, get start hitting some shots and getting on that green grass again? And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about just for a few minutes this morning, about spring training, you know, about getting your game, or in particular, your short game, ready for the spring. I probably do this probably sometimes a disservice to golfers or whatever you're going to call it, because, you know, it's, I played competitive golf for years. In fact, it's almost close to just almost 50 years now. I played competitive golf, and, you know, for the last 40 years, pretty serious competitive golf, whether it be, you know, playing, you know, as a top ranked amateur collegiate golf, or, you know, when I left college, right. Graduated from college, and I worked for a few years in between turning professional. I actually traveled the circuit as an amateur and played a lot of big amateur events. I mean, all over the country. In fact, the reason I decided to go professional is because the only people that were beating me at that time were, I always say, the Tiger Woods of the world, but it's really true. It was the golfers that, you know, were playing full time as amateurs. The guys who literally could go out there, whether it was they had a place in life that they were making enough money, or they had enough money they could just play golf. Or they were young guys that at that time was a little bit more unique, but the young guys that were quote, quote, sponsored, that like a Tiger or guys like that, that, could play golf and just do it full time. And the issue for me with the time was, is I was working full time, trying to play as much as possible. So you get kind of caught in a trap. You get caught in a trap because were you practicing enough? Could you go there and play enough, especially right before events? So I was doing the best I could, and I got ranked very high. I got top 25 amateur in the country, which I was pretty proud of. But I realized I was kind of stuck, because if I wanted to get anything above that, number one, was it economically feasible? Because I was working full time and trying to support, you know, playing golf and watch the state of Washington, playing up in, you know, upper state New York. I mean, I can tell you some huge events I played in, playing in Alabama the next week, and then going and playing, you know, down in Florida, down to the TPC Sawgrass, and then jumping into Seattle. And I mean, I was going over the country playing these big events, and you're not getting paid for those. I mean, you literally, you know, you finish top five, top 10. I mean, I never won any of the big events. I played very well in some of them. Playing those big amateur events, and you finish, you know, third or fourth place, and they're giving you a $300 gift certificate. So it's, you know, and it's costing you thousands to go there. So you kind of look, is it really worth it or not? And so anyway, I made the decision to turn professional, you know, in the 96, 97, that year, I said, I want to go do this for a living. And so at that time, I really started hanging out with a lot of professionals and a lot of top players. I mean, when I was an amateur, I was around good players, but nothing like when I was a professional. When I was a professional, I started, number one, playing with them. Number two, traveling with them. Number three, obviously practicing with them. And that was a great deal. Cause I mean, you know, I'm always one that'll say, if you want to become a better player, hang around with better players. I'm not talking about if you're a 10 or 20 handicap, you know, I'm not saying you got to go play, hang out with touring professionals. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying if you know, you're a 10 handicap golfer and you want to get down to, you know, single digit or handy or scratch, go play some golf with the club champion. Go out there and play some golf with the guy who's a scratch player. Go have some fun to play some golf with them. I'm not saying you have to go compete against them. Just go play some golf with them. If you're a 30 handicap golfer, 20 handicap golfer, you know, go play with the 10 handicaps or lower. Go play with the guys that you're aspiring to be. Watch what they're doing. Watch how they're acting. Watch how they're practicing. You know, they figured it out, or they've pretty much figured it out. So kind of follow what they're doing. So I was able to do that, and so I was able to follow around with the really good players. A lot of some I looked up to, some I just knew were really good players, but it was really interesting. In fact, one I can bring up, and many of you guys probably know him, but I remember his name is Chad Campbell. And Chad Campbell actually was the first $1 million mini tour player. That's what he was kind of famous for. he played on the Hooters tour. He played on, you know, the, what used to be, you know, the buy.com, you know, the Hogan tours, but literally this was back in the late '90s or, you know, early 2000s, which, you know, at that time you won a mini tour event, you're winning $20,000, $30,000 if you're lucky. I mean, even a big mini tour event. I mean, even one that's, you know, like now would be Korn Ferry Tour, that they're winning hundreds of thousands for first place. At that time, first place was 20,000, 30,000. That was a big check. And Chad played so well in mini tour events that he actually became a millionaire mini tour player. And it was interesting because there was like the Hooters tour. And even at that time, you know, it was the Nike tour, buy.com tour and so on. They would offer Chad to, they would say, I'll pay you appearance fees to play in these events. And instead of going to the PGA, because he'd get exemptions in the PGA, but there was times he'd give them up because he knew if he went out there, he might make the cut. He might not. He was a good player. He's a really good player, but he wasn't playing out there all the time. But then he could show up at, you know, at a Hooters tour event and get paid $10,000 just for showing up because, you know, he was like the star of the show. But I bring this up because I got to play a lot of golf with him. I had a lot of golf with him and practice a lot with him. In fact, I always say I've probably eaten 1,000 McDonald's hamburgers with Chad because we literally, that's where we kind of live. That's how quick we could afford, but I could afford at the time. But anyway, but you'd watch him, and when you'd watch these guys practice, the one things you'd see is that this is the biggest difference you'd see when I talk about spring training. Over the winter, when they're not playing a lot, or when they're not competing a lot, or they're just, you know, it's a little bit of downtime in golf just because of weather, because of conditions and so on. They're usually working on their fundamentals. I mean, they're usually working on some weakness in their game, and maybe, you know, maybe hyper-focusing on their driver or maybe hyper-focusing on whatever. I mean, they're working on fundamentals, and we call that, you know, a practice B setting. In a practice B setting is when you may be working on the grip, you may be working on your setup, you may be working on positions in the backswing, you may be, you know, and in a short game, you may be working on, you know, the same thing. You may be working on, you know, trying to get the, you know, the shaft leading throughout the shot, maybe trying to get your hands leading, trying to get your hands on the line. You know, practice B settings are like when you put an Excalibur inside and you're trying to really work on fundamentals, making sure you're not putting, your eyes are over the ball and things like that. So you're hammering on fundamentals, you know, over, we call it, you know, the winter months. That's kind of the off-season training. Okay. But then as soon as the spring hits, you know, we talk about, you know, the green grass starts showing up, or you start getting time to go outside, or it's warm enough to get out there and really get some practice in, you turn it into more of a practice A setting, okay? And practice A setting is all about starting to get touch and feel, okay? And that's, so you assume that, here's the deal, nobody's going to have perfect fundamentals, but you're just hoping and you assume you've improved your fundamentals a little bit over the winter months, okay? So now as you get into the spring, you get into the summer, you know, and you start getting into the warmer weather, you've got to now say, okay, how do I start getting touch and feel? How do I start taking those fundamentals and now where I can actually put it in the golf course? And we call that practice A, okay? And practice A is all about this. So really, to be honest with you, when I'm talking about spring training, it's about rolling into what is a practice A session, or a session when you're worried about, you know, I'm going to talk about short game in particular, is touch and feel. Now, I say that, and touch and feel for a lot of golfers is, how do you do this? How do you go and what do I do to get touch and feel? Okay. And so, you know, they always say, well, if I don't have good fundamentals, I can't get good touch and feel. And that's not true. You can have your fundamentals. You can have your habits. You can have your good or bad habits, and you can still create good touch and feel with those. Okay. And so what you've got to do, and I'll give you some examples, like with putting. Number one is when you go putt. Okay. And let's talk about the odds of putting first. If you go look at the numbers game of putting, when you go out there, good players will make a high percentage of putts 3 feet and inside. In fact, if you look at professionals from 3 feet and inside at times, and if you look at numbers for individual professionals, they're 90% plus. In fact, there's some professionals out there that are 95, 96% plus when they're 3 feet inside. Yeah, and we all accept that. You know, you get 1 foot putt, 2 foot putt, you're like, oh, those aren't hard to miss. You know, they're not, you know, they're easy to make. But you start getting that 3 foot circle and you go out there, and I dare you guys to go and put 8 balls around a hole from 3 feet. Or do one at a time from those different, you know, put some tees in the ground and try to make all 8, okay, or make all 10. I mean, you know, it's tougher than you think, okay? But hey, so, but from 5 feet and in, you know, I'll go back up to 5 feet, a professional is going to be 60 to 70%, okay, making those putts. Now, I'll tell you where the breakdown, at 6'6", they're 50-50, okay? So if you want a real number, at 6'6", PGA Tour, they're 50-50. But from 5 feet and in, they're a high percentage, okay? So good players make putts from 5 feet in. They make a high percentage of them. And they, in particular, make putts from 3 feet in. They make a high percentage of them, okay? So number one in practice A, we've got to go hammer on making short putts. I call it increasing. You can call it the diameter around the hole. I always call it like the manhole cover. So think of a golf hole, then throw a manhole cover on it. I want to make that manhole cover as big as possible around that hole, bigger and bigger. Because think about it. If a 3 footer is an automatic for you, or a 3.5 footer is automatic for you, think how big of that diameter is around the hole. Think how big that manhole cover is. You can chip into that easier. You can leg putt into that easier. You know, you can chip it, you know, you can pitch into that easier. Okay. That's a huge area you need to hit in. If your manhole cover is only a foot or foot and a half, you know, diameter, or maybe, you know, or maybe it's much smaller for a guaranteed putt. Think how much more pressure that is on you and around. So number one, spring training is you got to focus on making the short putts. When we talk about playing the hole backwards, that's what we always refer to. Got to always focus on that. Okay. That's number one. Number two is when you start getting those longer putts, 15 feet, 20 feet, 25 feet. You know, in particular, I would say over 15 feet, but longer putts where the odds, even by the professional, the odds of making those putts are 15%, 20%. I guess a 15 footer on tour has less than a 25% chance of going in by the best players in the world on the best greens that practice all the time. Okay. So the odds, I'm not going to say they're stacked against you. It's just a numbers game. So when you're working on 20 footers, 25 footers, 30 footers, you're working on leg putting those. You're working on getting them close to the hole. You're not trying to make them. If they go in, great. But the goal is to get it close enough in that manhole cover that it's a give me two putt, you know, just knock it and go. Okay. And that's the way this game is played. So when you go out there and practice, we need to, for example, lay something down. We talk about putting another club or maybe the flag or whatever it is down 17 inches past the hole. So go back 20 feet, 25 feet, 30 feet, whatever it is, throw some balls down, throw something behind the hole 17 inches, okay, and putt. And let's say you hit 5 balls. All 5 balls either need to go in, okay, but you're not trying to make them. But if it goes in, great. But if they stop, they need to stop past the hole and short of that stake or whatever you lay down behind the hole. Okay, there's a zone back there. You're trying to hit it into that leg zone. That's what that's all about. Why is that? For two big reasons. Number one, obviously the second putt's an easy putt, so you can make it easy. But number two is you can become a very consistent reader of greens because you'll have consistent speed control. Because think about it right now. If I hit a putt that went 3 feet past the hole, or if I hit a putt that went 1 inch past the hole, they're going to read totally different. That one you hit 3 feet past the hole may break 1 inch. That one you hit 1 inch past the hole might break 4 inches. That's a different reads. So you have to get consistent in your speed control. So not only number one, they're easy leg putt, no easy second putts, but number two is that you can read consistently. That's huge. So when you're out there working on your spring training and putting, the two biggest things you want to work on is number one, get those short putts. Let's go. I mean, yes, we work on Excaliburs inside. We do that inside, and that really helps with the fundamentals and hopefully really help to make the short putts. But when it comes down to playing golf, you got to make those short putts and you got to increase that I call it the manhole cover, that those guaranteed makes. You know, I give this story and you can sometime go out on the green, do this. It's pretty fascinating. When Tiger Woods, and this is, you guys can look this up. It's a known fact. When Tiger Woods won the Tiger Slam and he won all four majors in a row. Now they weren't in the same year, but he had all four trophies. Okay. So it was a Tiger Slam, which, you know, nobody's done it since, and it's a feat that may never happen again. I mean, it's incredible. But he had all four majors. When they showed the stats of him in the thing, he didn't drive the ball the best. He didn't hit his irons the best. He didn't hit the most greens in regulations. He didn't hit the most fairways, you know, in regulation, none of that. But what he did is he did not, and I want you guys to listen to this. In 16 competitive rounds at four majors, he did not miss a putt from 8 feet inside. So, you know, I talk about this 3 foot radius, 4 foot, you know, this 4 foot radius, you know, this diameter, this manhole cover. He literally had a manhole cover that was 16 feet across. Think about this. Next time, I want you to go on the green, mark that down, go 6-8 feet around the hole, put some tees around it, 8 feet, 8 feet all the way around, and look at the size. And you're going to go, you're literally going to be shocked. You're going to go, you got to be kidding me. And it's just nuts. But that's why he won those events. You know, he is considered one of the greatest, if not greatest putters of all time. But that is the ultimate reason he won those events is because think about that. The average professional is lucky to make 97, 98% from 3 feet. At 5 feet, he's 60%. Tiger Woods was 100% from 8 feet and inside. That's insanity, but that's why. So I know that's unrealistic for all of us. Okay. But that's a great concept to think about. If you go out there and say, okay, what do I need to work on? I need to work on my short putts. I got to make these guaranteed putts and I got to work on my leg putts. Okay. Legging the ball close to the hole. Okay. So that's number one. Second thing we want to do is we start working on chipping. Okay. Chipping is all about two big things. Number one, and this is what you see. Now, if you're working in the winter and you're working on fundamentals, maybe using the short game board, and you're using the things like that, that's great. And you know, hopefully you're doing that practice speed over the winter. But when the spring training hits, what you really, really, really want to focus on is number one, you want to work on shaft lean with that club, shaft lean. So you're creating a divot or you're at least bruising that grass when you're chipping. Because too many people, when they practice inside or they practice on mats, or maybe they practice on their carpet inside, which is all great. Mats and carpet are extremely forgiving. Okay. You can't hit it fat. You can scoop at it. You can flip at it. You can do all kinds. You can early release it. You can lose shaft lean. And if you're hitting wiffle balls or doing something inside, or maybe you're not hitting balls at all, it's very forgiving. You're not going to see a bad result. But once you get on that grass and it gets a little bit green, okay, and it's a little bit soft, especially early in the spring when it's a little bit of rain out there, it's getting really soft, you'll start chunking them. You'll start, you know, flipping at it. You'll start, you know, hitting them thin. You'll start having some issues because you're not creating proper shaft lean and you're not getting your hands down the line, okay? So we want to make sure you're getting really good shaft lean. And the best way to do this, and I say this, and I'll promote it forever, that's why I created it, is by the short game impact trainer. Our short game impact trainer, the two biggest things on that, and I promote this all the time, it's a training that's not used enough, is number one, it has the leading edge and negative bounce in the front edge, and is there for a reason. It makes you create shaft lean on the club, okay? It makes shaft lean. So no matter what, it makes you impact the ball first, then the ground. We always say the small ball first, then the big ball. You know, the golf ball first, then the earth, okay? That's the order supposed to be hit. And then with a small divot or bruise in the grass. That shaft, that front edge of it with that negative bounce creates you and makes you do that, okay? Even subconsciously, it makes it. The second thing in that short game impact trainer is the grip. Because when golfers start creating shaft lean, they start getting their hands forward, they start getting the ball back like a good chip, it's such a high percentage. I mean, I can't give you an exact number, but I'll tell you right now, it's well over 2/3 or 3/4 of golfers will get a strong grip on the club. So they'll rotate their hands to the right for a right-handed golfer or to the left for a left-handed golfer. And then it creates a face that gets hooded down in the backswing. So then as your chip gets longer and that toe's hooded down, you start chunking the shot. Okay. So it is extremely common. In fact, we call it motorcycle grip in the club. And I will tell you right now, we'll say it to golfers again and again and again and again, but until they get a training grip on the club, they just don't realize it. So that's why we created the short game impact trainer, was to number one, get it where you got shaft lean in that club and you're hitting that ball first, you know, the small ball, then the big ball, the club makes you do that. And then number two, it makes you put a good grip in that club. Just think about it. You're inside, you're working on this, the ground or the mat or whatever is very forgiving, or you're not hitting golf balls at all. And all of a sudden you get outside, it's in that spring. We got to get a good grip in that club. We got to get good shaft lean. We got to get good angles of attack. And that's what that's all about. And then the last thing to do on chipping is, when you're out there practicing in the spring, do two things for me. And this is critical. Number one, chip with the golf balls you're going to play with. I cannot stress this enough. Yes, there is times you can go out there and chip with range balls, or maybe there's some balls they supply, whatever, and that, you know, work on your fundamentals. That's okay. But when you're doing spring training and you're trying to get used to feel and touch and getting going on those greens, the ball you play with is critical. Because remember, the ball you play with is going to create spin and feel, okay, that you're going to take onto the golf course. So do not sit there. I just strongly suggest, even if they supply golf balls to chip on some green or wherever it is, try to get your own balls. I carry a tube with me. I have one of those tubes. I think you all have seen it. It has like 24 golf balls in it. And I actually have my yellow golf balls in there, so they're different than what's usually out there. You know, not many people play the yellow golf ball, but they're my chrome soft triple track yellow in there. I've got 24 in there and I chip them around with it, and I chip 24 up there, pull them up with a tube, do it again. Okay. So do use your own golf ball. And then the second thing is always set, like we talk about, have a landing zone. So like put two clubs on the green, you know, right on the edge of the green, and chip into that zone, hop over those balls and hop over the club. So you land in between the clubs, jump over the second club, roll it up the hole. Find a landing zone. Start working on a landing zone. Yeah, you're going to hit towards the target. A lot of people do when they chip, but it's all about hitting that same landing zone. Golfers have difficulty chipping because they do not know how to hit a particular landing zone. They may go 5 feet short of it, hit the landing zone one time, hit 5 feet past it. The one 5 feet short is going to come up 15 feet short of the hole. The one fell 5 feet past it might roll 30 feet past the hole. The one you hit in the landing zone gets close. So constantly in the spring, when you go chip, set a landing zone out there. that will consciously and subconsciously get you working on hitting that chip in the same spot. And then you can go from that, you know, and obviously I would say do the short game impact trainer with the landing zone, you know, working on the grip, you know, making sure the grip's good, getting really good touch and feel, and then go to your own clubs, go to the wedges and work your own clubs into that, but still keep that landing zone. Okay. Still keep that landing zone. And then the last thing in spring training, and it really comes down, and, you know, so we're talking about putting, we talked about some chipping, but it's about pitching. Okay. And so that's the other, you know, really the third big part of the short game. Okay. And the biggest thing about pitching that I see, and these are the two things that I see that are really missed when golfers get out early in the spring and really, you know, been doing indoor winter training, because again, it's hard to see results in the winter, or we're focused on fundamentals. We're not worried as much about results of the ball flight. That's good. That's what we want to be. But when you get into spring training on pitching, there's two big things. Number one is we have to watch and always focus on ball position. Okay. Because remember, the worst place you're going to have the ball position, you know, is in the middle of the stance. That's what we want for just a normal pitch. But we start moving it forward from the middle of the stance as we start hitting higher, softer, easier shots, getting that lob and flop shot. Okay. And it's very hard to work out in the winter. I understand that, especially when the grass is dormant or maybe it's wet or inside working. But we start getting green grass, it starts getting some little bit more rough out there, starts getting some, you know, good fluffy lies or even some tight lies that are green. We got to start working on getting that ball position forward. So really get that short game board out there and really, really, really highly focus on ball position. Because it's the number one mistake I see. When individuals come out in the spring or they have difficulty with pitching, they start putting the ball too far back in the stance. And then all of a sudden the ball gets back, the club's de-lofted. The club's de-lofted, but you want to create height, they start flipping and casting it. Because they have not checked ball position. So understand this. If you're flipping, casting, or losing shaft length through the shot, many times in a pitch, many times it's because of poor ball position. Okay. So check ball position. And then the second thing in pitching when you come out of spring training is really hyper focus and acceleration. So that's like the 1A. Make sure that your through swing is longer than your backswing. Make sure that even on a good solid pitch that's maybe, you know, a little distance, that the hands are finishing at shoulder height. Make sure that you're accelerating through the shot. Because it's really easy in the winter to work on position of one or position two, or you're trying to get shaft lean or hands leading in a pitch inside, you know, or maybe a mini golf swing, and that's great. But then all of a sudden you get outside and you don't realize it and you're deaccelerating. Your backswing's longer than your through swing, or you're stopping at impact. Let me give you a little secret. Ground's a little wet, you got some green grass, or just got some nice ground, you're trying to make a divot, you deaccelerate, you're going to fat chunk them. It's just what's going to happen, okay? You have to accelerate through impact. Because remember, when you have a pitch, and this is the checkpoints of a pitch, when you finish that pitch, number one, your hands are going to be shoulder high. They're always going to be shoulder high. Number two, you know, your lead arm is going to be folded when you're done. Number three, your feet are going to be on the ground, or as much as possible. Number four, your knees are going to be flexed. So think what I've just described so far. Is your knees flexed, your feet down, hands finished high, okay? That's just good, solid, single plane fundamentals, but those hands finished high is acceleration, okay? That's acceleration. Now, the other thing about this is when you get in that grass and you get out there and you start working on that spring training, make sure you soften those hands up when you're pitching. Because that's, I'm not going to say it's a big issue we'd see or a big problem we see, but when you're inside hitting off mats, you're hitting off carpet, you're not looking at results, you can grip it tight, you can get away with it. You can have that issue. You start getting in grass, you start getting out there when you got to start hitting that shot off a tight lie or, you know, whatever it is, you know, a good solid pitch. If your hands get too tight, if those forearms get too tight, the elbows are not going to fold properly, okay? And you're not going to be able to accelerate through the shot, okay? We call it stick the club in the ground or whatever you want to call it. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So on a pitch, make sure when you get outside and you start doing that spring training, okay, make sure, number one, we'll just kind of go backwards in this. Number one, loosen up those hands, get them soft. Other than putting, the chipping motion will have the softest hands in golf. And it may even be a little bit softer than putting, but they're soft hands, loosen up the form, okay? Number two, check the acceleration. Through swing's longer than the backswing. Video it, look in a mirror, figure it out, got it, okay? You know, make sure those hands finish shoulder high, okay? Number three, constantly check ball position. And then as the spring works out, because here's the deal. When you get out there and you're doing your spring training, you want to hit those higher, softer shots. You want to hit a flop shot over the bunker or something that stops fast. But the only way to do that is start moving that ball slightly forward in the stance. Okay. And most time in winter, we're not doing that. You're not going to get away with that. Whether you're hitting off dead grass or dormant grass or you're working inside, spring, we got to get that flop shot going. That's all about ball position. Okay. So, you know, in summary, and I'll kind of probably cut it off here, but In summary, in the spring, when you get spring training, it's touch and feel. It's what we call practice type A. Now, I would strongly suggest that you all out there, if you don't know the difference between practice B and practice A, really get involved with this and that. And it's one of our seven principles, you know, of how to practice properly. It's one of our biggest things we preach and teach. There's more than just going out there physically doing practice A and B. There's mental practice A and B too. You know, we talk about this a lot, and I've talked about this in past, you know, podcasts. I'm sure I will again in the future, but again, just review real quick. A practice B setting is a fundamental base setting. You're not worrying about ball results. You're trying to hit the right positions. That's why we promote things like the single plane position trainer. We promote things that don't even have club heads on them. You know, we're promoting things that you can work on position training. That's a practice B type setting. So even if you did a practice B setting on a driving range, you don't care where the ball goes. You know, you're working on positions. You know, may not even hit golf balls out there. You're working on fundamentals, okay? A practice A setting, which you could call it, I'm calling it spring training right now. Practice A setting is caring where the golf ball goes. You know, is there a spin on that golf ball? How close is it to the hole? Creating touch and feel, okay? In the short game, we just talked about, you know, in the long game, it's obviously how far you hit. You know, how is the shot shape? What's the, you know, what's your trajectory? How's it moving out there? You know, that's a practice A. It's like you're about to go play. You're getting prepared to go play, okay? And again, in the short game, we want to make sure that we're constantly working on touch and feel, touch and feel. And I gave you some of those settings. But the one thing that I really, really, and I just want to be critical on this, and I'm going to say critical, I want to just reiterate this, you know, before I get off tonight, is when you get out there, it's pretty easy to use what's out there, or when you go to your bag, just grab a few golf balls out and do it. When you're around that short game, use the ball you are playing with, okay, for sure in putting. You go out there, don't be using three or four different types of golf balls. Be exacting. If you go play a Chrome Soft X or, you know, a Chrome Tour or whatever you play, or Chrome Soft or whatever, maybe an ERC Soft. I mean, I think most of our clientele out there an ERC Soft, which is an amazing golf ball. If you're out there, get it out there and practice with it. You use triple track, practice that triple track. Simulate like you're about to go play golf. That feel of the same golf ball is huge. And try to do the same thing in chipping. I don't care if you do it in your backyard or you're doing it in a green, use the ball you're going to play with. Now, I know sometimes pitching is a little more difficult because it's, you know, where do you pitch on the range? Is there a pitching green there? I understand that, okay? If you can use the same ball pitching, absolutely do it, okay? But for sure, if you want to be a good player, you want to become a great player, you want to become a better player, better players use the ball they play with when they putt in the chip. I promise you they do. You just watch them. You'll see they are. They'll do it. They'll figure out somewhere they can use it. Okay. That's critical. Okay. And then keep thinking, how do I create touch? How do I create feel? There's a lot of different ways. Review our things in our membership website. Review things in on demand. I mean, even go back to the, you know, putting masterclass or the workshops I've done. I've literally got, I won't say hundreds, but it's probably pretty close of drills and things you can do, working on leg, working on different games, working on different things. Okay. To help you with this. But guys, that's really kind of the start of the spring training. We're going to start getting into a lot. I'm going to go shoot some videos on this, but we're going to start doing a lot of spring training for you guys to get you ready for the golf season. Once you enjoy your golf, there is time to work on fundamentals. There's times not to work on fundamentals. There's times to work on playing. Okay. There's time to work on touch and feel. We want to really be deliberate when we set those apart, because if we mix them or intermatch them all the time, it's hard to get a lot better fast. If you have times to work on fundamentals and you set apart time to work on touch and feel, you can get better a lot faster, okay? So guys, I hope you enjoy these podcasts. I hope you enjoy, you know, being part of what we do at Grace Golf, and I want to thank you guys for being part of what we do. And if you need anything from us, you know, give us a holler, give us an email anytime. Get you guys taken care of, and I'll talk to you guys real soon.